Welcome and God bless. On behalf of our pastors, Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in to our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit votacoma.org.
So our message this morning is just that, is having courage this morning to do the right thing. Having courage to do the right thing. Because in our Christian walk, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take courage. Because there are a lot of crossroads and there's a lot of opportunities and there's a lot of avenues that we can take amongst our Christian walk. God desires our Christianity to become a blessing, to become abundant, to find our gift, to find the opportunity where He's taking us to help not only build your marriage or your children or your family, but first and foremost, the kingdom of God. And it takes courage in the day and age we live in is to do the right thing. The majority of times, I don't know about you, but we come out of a lifestyle that sometimes there was not a lot of values and principles and morals that we really were able to go ahead and look up to. The lifestyle I came out of was, you know, there was a lot of lying and cheating and drug abuse and just that lifestyle that was, it was just very evil in a sense. And we learned a lot of principles and values that were from the streets and from the world. But how many know I didn't know about principles and values that was going to keep me focused on serving God for the rest of my life. Because sometimes we can come into church and we are just looking for a savior. In a sense, I'm looking for a band-aid, I'm looking for an answer, I'm looking for a way out, I'm looking just for some good times because I've had so many bad times, but I need some good times, and I heard Jesus if I go to this church, and sometimes we come in just with that mentality, and there's nothing wrong with that because God is your savior. He sent Jesus to be our savior, but eventually, once we fall in love with God and who God is in our life, He wants to be our Lord. And He wants to help us become all that we can become in the things of God. Because how many know He wants to develop us into something more than what we are today? Amen? Because I remember being a young man, all I wanted was a good job. That's all I wanted. I wanted a good job, and hopefully my girlfriend then would like me again. Hello? And I just wanted to stay out of jail. That's all I wanted. But how many know, little did I know, God did more and above and even doing greater things in my life today that I couldn't even think or even imagine or even comprehend that I would be at a place where I'm at right now. And I'm talking about spiritually and in my mindset and my heart and even in relationships. Because how many know, God is able to go ahead and form and transform us into something more than we are right now. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And that is into what? Not only a child of God, but a man and a woman of God that we can become useful, listen, in the kingdom of God. And I think that's what every Christian should be able to look forward in doing. And the character I'm going to talk about this morning, is the Christmas character. And I know Christmas time we always talk about baby Jesus, which is, of course, we want to talk about and the reason for the season. And we also talk about Mary. But a lot of times we don't really talk a lot about Joseph. Somebody say Joseph. And Joseph was a man that we can look at to for courage. Amen? Because how many know courage is something that He's displayed for us so that we can learn this afternoon what it's going to take to go ahead in the everyday choices of life. Because every day we have a choice. A choice to do the right thing or the choice just to give up. A choice to go ahead and praise God or a choice not to go ahead and praise God. A choice to come to church or a choice to give up on church. Every day we have choices to get mad at our husband or not get mad at our husband. Amen? Every day we have a choice to go ahead and cheat and lie or tell the truth and be honest. So every day there's choices that we are confronted with, even crossroads in our life that we're confronted with on a daily basis. Should I read my Bible? Is the Bible telling me the truth? Is it something that's going to give me something worthwhile? Is prayer effective? Isn't prayer effective? You know, so on and so forth. There's so many choices that are in our hearts on a daily basis. And what God wants us to do, and especially that's why I always talk about the longevity of Christianity. Because Christianity isn't just something we do for the next couple of weeks. But Christianity is something that you have to, first of all, decide in your mind that I'm going to serve God for the rest of my life. See, when you make that decision that I'm going to serve God for the rest of my life, then what happens is now you're going to say, well, how am I going to serve God for the rest of my life? Or what principles or what tools or what do I need to make this lifestyle successful? Because I know out there in the world before we came to Christ, how many know a lot of us, I don't know about you, we gave up on school. But school is something that gives us success, education, right? Sometimes we give up on relationships. Even we go to work and we give up on work. And there's a lot of things that we give up on, but one of the things that God wants to develop in our heart is not to give up on Him. Not to give up on this new way of living. That's why the Bible says that I'm a new creation. All things become new. All things are old now. This is a new way of living. And that's why it's very important. That's why the verse in the Bible where it says, I can do all things in Christ Jesus who strengthens me. See, that's why we need Christ Jesus on a daily basis, because sometimes, you know, people cut you off in the lane and you get upset and you get angry. And we get upset at our husbands, or we get upset at the boss, and all these emotions begin to take things to a bigger proportion within our lives, and we start contemplating certain things in our life, and our emotions take us all over the place. Can somebody say amen? And I'm going somewhere with this morning, because how many know it takes courage this morning to go ahead and live this Christian walk?
Come on.
Courage. And we look at the police officers, and I'm reminded of these police officers, even the one that was laid to rest recently. It takes courage. Courage to go ahead and go into harm's way on a daily basis. Yes, we have a group of people in America who don't like police officers and who are coming against police officers. But believe me, there's a majority of police officers who just want to go do their job and go home for the night and see their children. And a lot of these police officers, how many know, are people of courage. It's a quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, pain, without fear, bravery. We even look at our military. You guys are in a military city here. And the military have to go abroad. And they go into different places around the world. And they have to have some courage to be able to go into villages which are enemy. We don't know how to identify them. And it takes courage to face fear head on. It takes courage to be out there deployed for a year, 2 years, and be out there fighting a war that a lot of people really don't understand. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
And we see, even as the Twin Towers have come, that came down, and we see the firefighters, they ran into the Twin Towers, and they began to go ahead, run in as everybody's ran out, and they displayed courage throughout that whole ordeal, even as the towers came down, staying there all night long, digging and trying to find those that were still alive. Courageous people that face fear with bravery, that face pain and face danger. But there's a different type of courage that I want to talk about this morning. Is a courage that one has courage to keep one's convictions this afternoon. To have the courage to be able to stand in what you believe in. To act in accordance with one's belief, especially in spite of criticism. Are you with me this afternoon? See, if you want to go ahead and be successful for this next week, you're going to have to make up in your mind that, listen, you're going to have some convictions about what you believe this afternoon. What you have to believe, first of all, is that you're a new creation. You have to believe you're a child of God. You have to believe your sins are forgiven. You have to believe that, listen, that God is not holding those things over your life, but God has washed it as white as snow. That you're a new creation, that you're a child of God, that you're an overcomer. See, just for a span of 1 week, how many know, that takes a lot of work. Because tomorrow you can wake up and the enemy, there he is. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he's your number one critic. Outside of your boss and your enemies and those who are gossiping and those who are coming against you. How many know the enemy is our number one critic sometimes? Can somebody say amen? Amen. Even ourselves, there's a phrase that says that we are our worst enemy. We're the ones that live with ourselves on a daily basis. We're the ones that get up and walk around this city with ourselves. And sometimes there's things that we self-talk to ourselves about. And we put ourselves down about. And we begin to have this verbiage within our mind and our spirit. Man, see, you're no good. See, you made a mistake. See, you'll never make it. Hello? And this morning I really want us to be encouraged to be courageous. Because how many know in this Christian walk, you're going to need courage every day that you wake up to what? To stand in your convictions, to act in accordance with your belief. And as we look at Joseph's life in Matthew 1:18-25, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found a child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, somebody say a just man, and not wanting to make her public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
How many know God gives courage to ordinary people? I mean, think about Joseph. Joseph was an individual and calls him a just man. But Joseph was just like me and you. Joseph was a just man. He was a man that was, the Bible describes him being called just. And what the definition of just is being, he was guided by the truth. He was guided by the truth. He believed and walked in justice and fairness. He had principles. He lived properly. What I'm saying is that Joseph was a man who did things right. And I think you have to give God some time in your life so that you come to a place where you can start doing some things right. Joseph was already at that stage of doing things right. He had a relationship with God. He knew who God was. And what we have to recognize is God hadn't spoken for 400 years up to the point of where Jesus was about to be born. God hasn't spoken, prophets haven't said anything, but yet Joseph knew who his God was. Joseph had some convictions. He had some principles and he had some values. And one of the things as Christians that we have to recognize from his life is that our life is a process. Just like Joseph's life, we don't know, but his life was probably a process also. There were some things that had to be arranged and some things in his mind that had to go ahead and be put into place. In other words, in his belief system. In other words, who he was as a child of God, as a religious man, as a man who had a reputation in his community, a man who was fair, a man who was proper. Remember, he was a carpenter, so he had his own business, a blue-collar worker. He had to be honest. And what am I saying this afternoon? Is that you have to give God some time to put these characteristics in your life. Sometimes we think that, man, just because I come to the altar one or two times that my life should be rearranged just like that. It doesn't happen like that. That's why I say we have to make a decision in our mind that I'm going to serve God for the rest of my life. Not until my wife lets me back into the house. Not until the probation officer, only until the probation officer is off my back or I get a job. No, this has to be a way of living every day. Why? Because a lot of us were dishonest, were we not? A lot of us, listen, were crooked, were we not? A lot of us had a lying spirit, did we not? A lot of us were cunning and mischievous, hello? A lot of us were depressed, even suicidal. A lot of us had some weird principles, even had some prejudices within our lives. A lot of us had some different ways of thinking, of family values. A lot of us had a different way of thinking. And what we have to recognize is God showing us that Joseph was a just man, and he wants to show us, listen, that he's trying to get us to a place so that we can be those type of people being just this afternoon. Consistent with what is morally right. Good character, good morals. But does it happen overnight? No, it doesn't. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. That's why church is very important. Tell your neighbor, church is very important. That's why intentional growth is very important. That's why, listen, getting into the Word of God is very important. Prayer is very important. But I'm just an ordinary person. Amen? See, in the midst of this story, of this miraculous birth of Jesus, we find an ordinary man, amen? And many of us don't view biblical characters as ordinary people. And that's why sometimes we find it difficult this afternoon to go ahead and say, I can't live like them. I can't be like Pastor Eric. I can't be like the leaders in the church. Man, there's something different. Noah and Moses and Joseph and Gideon, all these people were just biblical characters who had supernatural powers, and that's not true. That is not true, because how we know God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And the Bible's themed after ordinary people. People who are just like me and you, even with like passions. Can somebody say amen? Look at, and 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26 through 29, in the Message Bible, it says this. Take a good look, friends, at who you were when you got called into this life. I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you, not many influential and not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses? Chose these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies? That makes it quite clear that none of you can get by blowing your own horn before God. Can somebody say amen? Amen. What am I saying this morning? I want you to recognize this morning that God wants to use you, your family, listen, not to go ahead and maybe save a nation, but listen, to go ahead and walk out these doors and live a right Christian life. To live with some principles and some morals and some values that you're going to pass down to your children. I was talking to a lady the other day, and she was making a little bit of fun of me because I'm not fluent in Spanish. I'm not fluent in Spanish. She said, man, you should know Spanish. You should know it, blah, blah, blah. And she was making fun of me. And I said, well, my grandparents knew Spanish. And my parents knew Spanish and English fluently. But me and my brothers, we know English, but we know a little bit of Spanish. But my kids, they don't know no Spanish at all. And I go, that's what Christianity is like. The beginning, our families, our grandparents, or might even be you that know the principles and values of Christianity. But this next generation, if we don't show it to our children, how many know they're gonna know just a little bit less. And then the next generation is going to know a little bit less. And then by the time you know it, they're going to know nothing about principles and values and what you believe. Amen. I don't know if you watch Fox News, but there's a guy on there, a commentator. His name, he has a commentating show called Waters World. And I don't know if you know who he is. His name is Jesse Waters. And he goes all over New York and he asks young kids, millennials, different questions. Where was Jesus born? Where was the Declaration of Independence written? Who were the pilgrims? What was the tribe of the pilgrim, of the Indian tribe that met the pilgrims? And you see, all these people, they don't know the answer. They don't know the history. They don't know nothing about America. And they give all these weird answers about the pilgrims. And they say that they came from Germany. And the pilgrims came from, you know, from different parts of the world that are totally wrong answers. Can somebody say amen? That's why it's very important this afternoon that we know what we believe in. Because if you don't know what you believe in, then you're not going to have any courage to stand for what you believe in. You're going to go ahead and be blindsided by what Joseph got blindsided by. His wife-to-be came to him and said, "Listen, I'm pregnant." And he thought to himself, "Pregnant? We've never had relations. I've never been with her. What in the world is going on here? We're going to get married. We're going to go ahead and have a big party. We're going to go ahead and bring all of our family. But now, she's pregnant." Could you imagine what he thought in his mind? That she's been unfaithful. I thought I picked the right one, but she's the wrong one. She has a secret life, a double life. She has somebody on the side. Hello, somebody. Think about that. Joseph thought these things, the Bible says, that he thought about it, and he thought about it, and he was trying to figure out what he was going to do to go ahead and make this matter right. And that's why the Bible called him just this afternoon. Because if any other dude, like me or you, we probably would have put her on blast. We probably would have threw her out there on Front Street. We would have put her all over Facebook. But this just man, listen, this just man wanted to go ahead and, first of all, help her in her time, listen, of maybe even her own confusion. Amen? See, Joseph was an ordinary man, but he was, listen, a man of God. That's why church is very important. That's why Bible study, that's why making up your mind is very important. Because God's trying to make us into a man, a woman, and even a family of God. Why? Because you're going to have some things that are going to blindside you from this day on. Did Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica ever think that they're going to wake up in the morning and their church is on fire? Now that's a blindside. How do you handle a situation like that? And some of you that are behind them, you're watching how they're handling that. Why? Because we have a relationship with God. We have a trust in God. Listen, we have a dependency on God. We have a hope in God. Joseph, listen, even though he was at this blindsided blow, how many know he was able to go ahead and make some right decisions? See, you're going to get blindsided. I don't know from what. I'm just going to be honest and tell you the truth. Because this Christian walk isn't a walk in the tulips. It's not just going to, your problems are going to go away, because they're not. And that's when we miss so many Christians that fall off the boat because something happens in their life and they blame God. They blame God and blame the pastor and they blame the church and they blame the circumstances. Rather than going ahead, listen, and being able to go ahead and understand who God is in their life at that very moment. Can somebody say amen? Amen. He's a... This light keeps on hitting my thing here. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as followed. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her public example, was minded to put her away. Once again, Joseph was an ordinary man, yet he was a just man. What does that mean? He was a man of moral courage. He displayed, listen, and this is what I want us to recognize. He displayed, listen, the character of God. And that's tough to do, isn't it? Isn't it tough to display the love of God? It is. Especially where we come from, where we don't even know the love of God ourselves at times. That's why you have to give yourself time to be in church, to go ahead and have this heart of stone be, listen, turned into a heart of flesh. You're going to get angry. You're going to get upset. You're going to make some mistakes. Then things are going to happen. Some things are, some arguments are going to blow up in your house. Hello, somebody. But it doesn't mean that we give up and throw in the towel. What it means is, man, there's some change that needs to take place in my life. I'm not all the way baked yet. I haven't arrived yet. I need more of God. I need to be more a part. Man, I see these things popping up in my life, man. I need to press in a little bit more. Because I'm going to say amen. I need more Jesus. Hello. Sometimes people miss the boat. They go months and weeks and days without being in the house of God or reading the Word of God. And sometimes when things happen in their life, what do they say? Man, I need to go back to church. Man, I need God in my life. Man, I should have just been in Bible study. Why should we wait for that time? Let's just do it now. Let God deal with your life now. Let him, in the midst of hard times and problems and issues of life, don't stay away. You got to get in closer. You gotta go ahead and snuggle up next to the fire. Are you with me? Can somebody say amen? You have to snuggle up. You have to be close to the things of God. Joseph displayed moral character. Amen? He displayed the character of God in his own life. And that's tough to do, and I think that's what God's trying to do in our life. If you don't recognize that. It's a process of time where he tries to go ahead and rip out all the ugly stuff and put in the good stuff. Amen? I don't know if you've ever seen the Cinderella Man, but the Cinderella Man, it was a movie of a boxer, and it was around the Great Depression. And what happened was their family was starving. And one of his little boys went to the bakery and stole a loaf of bread and brought it to his dad and his family and said, look at what we got, we can eat. And what happens is the dad scolded him and rebuked him and told him, you need to take that bread back and you need to go ahead and ask the storekeeper for forgiveness. Wow. They're hungry. They're starving. They have a loaf of bread. But dad says, no, that's wrong. Take it back. Are you with me? That's what the Bible, when he says Joseph was a just man, that's who Joseph was. That's what God wants to bring me and you in the little itty bitty things of life. The little itty bitty things of life that God wants us to make the right decision. Just like the lady who gives you $20 extra at the store, that doesn't mean thank you, Jesus. That means she made a mistake. That means I need to get that back and do the right thing. Because she might be able to lose her job because she made too many mistakes. And she has 4 kids at the house. Then the DSA says she needs a job. But then you give it to her and say, hey, I want to be a blessing. I want to give this back to you. Oh my God, I did it again. And she fixes the mistake. And listen, what happens? Listen, she begins to go ahead and does the right thing in her own life now. See how it passes on? But we get to take advantage of those little things sometimes. Sometimes we take advantage of those little fibs and those little white lies and those little things in our life, the little hidden sins in our life. And sometimes those are the things that God wants us to work on. Because if we don't work on those little things, then they blow up into big things over time. So between here and next Sunday, if we can work on the little things in our life, how many know that it's that much easier when the big things come into our life? And we don't just fold up and throw in the towel because big things come in our life. What we say when those big things come in our life, and we've never practiced this, is when we say, man, that's just icing on the cake. That's cherry on top. Man, I'm sick of this life. I'm out of here. I'm not going to serve God no more. But when you take care of those little things in your life, those little areas of your life, and then when that big thing comes in, you're going to say, man, God, you're going to help me in this one. I've seen you help me with the lion. I've seen you help me with the bear. But you know what, God? I believe you can help me with this one also. And your faith has grown just that much more. But if we don't do nothing from here to Sunday to build our faith, to build our belief, to build our principles, to build our morals, then listen, when that time comes, listen, we just blow over. Where's so-and-so at? What's it? Oh, man, they don't want to come around no more because, you know, the car broke down. They said God should have been, you know, providing for their car. Amen? The little things allows us to go ahead and fold up and throw in the towel. And we should not allow those things, because listen, God gives us courage to overcome doubts and fears in our life, does he not? We can only imagine how Joseph must have felt when he found out that Mary was pregnant. His natural response would have been that she had been unfaithful to him, like we talked about. And he knew the child wasn't his. And what could he have felt, just like me and you feel on a daily basis? Shock, disappointment, embarrassment, sorrow, anger, and probably a mixture of all these things. Because our emotions take the best of us, don't they? Our emotions do. There's a saying I like to say, don't let your faith follow your emotions. Let your emotions follow your faith. Because your emotions will take you all over the place. Look how he responded. He didn't fly off the handle. He didn't tear off his robe. He didn't beat her back and boo. He didn't do according to the law in Deuteronomy, take her out to the public square and have her stoned to death. In other words, what I'm saying is he did not react. How many of us react when things happen in our life? We react. Because that emotion takes the best of us. It's just like the story that I like to say of two girls that were going to go out to shopping. And she says, I'll be there in 10 minutes to pick you up. And 10 minutes came by, so she must be running late. Half hour comes by, man, she must be stuck in traffic. 2 hours come by, she's, man, I'm through with this girl. I'm never going to go ahead and talk to her again. 6 hours come by, man, I'm defacing her, taking her off my phone list. You know what, I don't ever want to see her again. Next day comes around, her brother calls and say, hey, what's her name, got into an accident. And she's been in the hospital since last night, and she's in critical condition. And she says, are you serious? Yeah, she was on her way to pick you up. Oh my God, I hope she's okay. Poor girl, man, I'll be right there. Oh, my friend, my good friend, I hope nothing happens. You see how emotions change just like that? Emotions change at a drop of a dime. Emotions change. Listen, before even Joseph was spoken to in a dream, he had some emotions. It's okay to have emotions. It's okay to go ahead and feel a little anger. It's okay to sometimes even be a little bit confused and even question God. But don't let those emotions go ahead and let you react in such a way where we just kind of run off and turn tail and never to be found again. But we have to learn to respond. And that's what Christianity is about, is for Christians to learn to respond like that old cliche, WWJD. What would Jesus do? It seems silly wristband, but it's actually true. Because listen, the way we respond is the way the world and other young Christians judge Jesus.
Amen.
No. Think about that for a second. The way we respond, the way we respond to situations in our life, especially if we've been serving God for a little while, and if we respond in the worldly and giving up way and throwing in the towel, no faith, and forget everything, then listen, those that are behind us or those that are at work or your family say, weren't those people serving God? Weren't they serving Jesus? I just heard a song on Facebook or on YouTube fighting over there in the middle of the street. Man, I was behind them and I cut them off and I thought that was what's your name from church, but they flipped me off. Hello, somebody. See, the little things in life is we have to go ahead and learn how to respond. We have to learn how to go ahead and respond in these little things in life. That's what's going to allow you to be here in a year. That's what's going to allow you to be here in 6 years. That me and my wife have been doing this for over 20 years now. In the beginning stages, man, I flew off the handle a lot of times. In my beginning Christianity, man, I blew it a lot. How many have blown it in their Christianity? Amen? How many have made some mistakes? Even though he was emotional, yet Joseph's character enabled him to keep a rein on his emotions this afternoon. It allowed him to keep a rein on his emotions. His love for God and for Mary compelled him to seek for a way to protect her. And you know what the scripture says about that? And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins this afternoon. You see what he did? Not only did he have a love for God, but he had a love for her. And God wants us not only to have a love for him, but to have a love for one another. Are you with me this afternoon? He wants us to love our fellow man. That's who Joseph was. Not only did he love God, he loved his fellow man. Because the Bible says he was a just man in his community. In other words, he was a fair man. He helped the needy. He had a good reputation. He was in town and people knew who he was. He was about to get married. But yet, the Bible says, listen, he responded to how God would respond, and yet is also for the love that he had for Mary. Can somebody say amen? Because, listen, when we allow the characteristics of God to begin to develop in our lives, this is what it develops in Galatians chapter 5, 22 through 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Somebody say self-control. Joseph faced down his own emotions and courageously chose to protect Mary. Amen? Can you imagine the rumors that were going to be in town? That must have spread out throughout the community. The neighbors that would have thought that they were breaking the law. And obviously the neighbors might have thought they were in premarital sex. Amen? Remember, Joseph was a right, just man. He was a man that did the right thing, had a good reputation. But yet he was willing to stand in the midst of all that, from losing his reputation to not being respected in the community. Amen? But yet willing to do the right thing in the midst of criticism. Isn't that what we said, that what courage was? Courage was going ahead and standing in your convictions and what you believe and in your beliefs and your principles despite the criticism. Yeah. See, we can handle success, we can handle good things, but can we handle criticism? See, that's the difference. As Christians, sometimes we all want the glitz and glamour, but how about sometimes when there is no glitz and glamour? Can we handle that? Can we handle criticism? Can we handle a blow? Can we handle, listen, the unexpected? Can we handle things, listen, that are coming our way? God wants to build us so that we can handle that. So that you can be here next Christmas. Hello, somebody. Because to be an upright man means he's good and responsible, and he has a respectable reputation. He's a man who lives right, talks right, thinks right, and even acts right. Are you with me? He's a man who makes the right choices. There's a saying that says, it's the right thing to do, or it's always the right time to do the right thing. Amen? See, God gives us the courage to face our own doubts and fears and also the rumors of others. Because in Christianity, for whatever reason in Christianity, and I don't know what those reasons are, how many know there's always in the Christian body, and every pastor talks about it, is gossip and rumors. I don't know what the purpose of that is in this Christian world. I come from the neighborhood. I come from the streets. I come from that. And it seems like, man, when we come into the Christian world, it's like, man, I don't know if I never recognized it before, but sometimes, you know, how many know if we're not developing the love of God in our life, then we're going to be those type of people who are going to be the ones talking and gossiping. See, we want to build a church that is displaying the love of God. We want a church that displays a good reputation, especially here in Tacoma. When they think of Victory Outreach Tacoma, they're going to say, man, those guys are loving, those guys are caring. Man, they love you. Man, those guys, they cover you. You can come just as you are, man. They cover us with love, man. And they have a good reputation in the city. Those guys are just people over there. They believe in principles and values. They believe in that. And where does that start? That starts here in the church, and we take it to our house, and then we take it to the community of doing the right thing all the time. Can somebody say amen? Yeah. Is it hard doing the right thing? It is hard doing the right thing. Because it says this. It says Ecclesiastes 7:20, for there is not a just man upon earth that does good and sinneth not. Amen? So don't think every pastor is all that in a bag of chips. Don't think every leader is all that in a bag of chips. Don't think the nicest and best and beautifulest churches in Tacoma area is all that. They're perfect. Because the Bible says every man sins. Amen? Proverbs says, for a just man falleth seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. But the difference this morning, if we want to be just people, is the right man realizes that he has sinned against God, his fellow man, and he will repent of that sin. And ask God for forgiveness and forgiveness, listen, with his fellow man. And I think that's one of the most important things we need to recognize, church, is to go ahead and forgive our fellow man. It's to love each other and to forgive each other. Because how many know we're not all perfect? We all make mistakes. That's why we're here, to encourage and lift each other up, to help each other, to inspire each other, to go ahead and cry with one another, laugh with one another, disciple one another, instruct one another, encourage one another, and most of all, be family for one another. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
And lastly, listen, God gives us courage for the future, to face our future. See, in the case of Joseph, he was given a vision, a dream to help reinforce his faith. Because, listen, he knew the neighbors, listen, would change their opinion of him. And it says this in a portion of scripture, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Does God always give us dreams? No. Does God always speak to us in a loud voice? No. But sometimes he does. But sometimes God will give us a vision, but sometimes he won't speak to us. Sometimes he won't give us what we need to hear. But sometimes what God does give us, listen, is a place of belonging this morning. Sometimes God, what he does give us is the word of God this morning. What he does give us, listen, is a place where we can get instruction, where we can get insight this morning. That's why it's important to be in the house of God. Because, listen, things come from our blind side and we get hit at times. And it allows us to be able to come to a place so that we can hear, listen, direction for our life this afternoon. See, Joseph, the Bible says that he was thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking about it, trying to figure it out. And what happened? He fell asleep. He fell asleep, and in that sleep, then God spoke to him. Sometimes sometimes we go to our end, trying to figure everything out, trying to figure it out, trying to see how I'm going to work it out. Sometimes we're trying to figure it out. It's only until we come to our end does God come in at the nick of time, at the right time this afternoon. Can somebody say amen? Quit trying to figure everything out and just love God. You guys are in a series of that says worshiping God. Amen? I think that's where you're going to find your answers, in worship, in praise, in adoration, in thanksgiving, and giving him the glory. In the midst of our problems and our issues, how many know God comes in and begins to refresh us? Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Why? Because in Hebrews 13:5, it says, I will never leave you and forsake you. And the fact that God tells us that, how many know, it should give us encouragement. If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen? Eric, if God is for you, who can be against you? Right? I told Eric when I came in here, brother, you got it going on in here. Brother, you got good things going on here. Your church has good things. I've been in my city for 10 years. Amen. I've seen some struggling churches. I've seen some churches that is difficult. Man, you guys have a blessed church here. You guys have a good place to come and fellowship and get along and be encouraged. Amen. And my word is that God is with you. And you got to go ahead and get a hold of it this morning, amen? And say, God, if I need to be molded and shaped to become that person who's making the right decisions when I'm by myself, then that's what I want. I want to be an individual that makes the right choices. I want to be an individual that does the right thing. I want to be an individual that thinks right, that acts right, and that does right this afternoon. Can somebody say amen? Are you with me as we stand this morning? Listen, when we face doubt,